All right, well, I've already told you where we are today. If you've never been here before, if you want to turn to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. I was going to try to finish up chapter 14, but the Lord just wouldn't let me go past where we're going to go today. So if you want to find verse 22, we're going to go all the way from 22 to verse 33. And the title of the sermon, if you look in the back of your bulletin, there is a place for notes. And I just want to encourage you, not that you need to write down anything that I say, because if I say it, it's probably going to be pretty simple. And it's probably going to be, you know, I'm just saying, whatever God lays on your heart through going through His Word today, maybe just the five simple points that we need to be assured of today that we're going to go through. I would encourage you to write those down so you can go home this week, or you can go back this week, or maybe when the storms of life do come, you'll have those to fall back on. Maybe keep it in your Bible, because the Lord laid this on my heart this week. The title of the sermon is Five Assurances for the Storms. So somebody here today is going through a storm. If you're like me, you've been through a storm, or you think one might be coming in life, we need to hear this morning. But last week, we saw where Jesus used His disciples to feed not 5,000, but if you look at the scripture, over 5,000 people with just two fish and five loaves of bread. And in this message last week, we pointed out three major things, three simple points that each Christ follower must do, that He was teaching His disciples. If you're going to follow me, this is what you got to do. And number one was this: you have to look beyond yourself and you have to see others and their needs. Yeah, I have to have compassion on other people and see what they need, and not just say, let's send them away and let them help themselves, because that's what the disciples wanted to do. Jesus said, no, you feed them. And we must have compassion on others. And number two, we must accept our duty to minister. If you are a Christian here today, that means God has called you out of the darkness into the light, and He wants you to be a Christ follower, to follow Him, to do His work. We have to accept our duty to be a minister. And we must trust Jesus to use us. Whatever He gave us, whatever He's gifted you with, whatever possessions you have, whatever gifts you, talents you have, whatever it is, we have to trust Him to use it. Even if it just seems like just two fish and five loaves of bread, we have to trust Him and say, God, You can multiply. So before we actually read this text for today, we have to put ourselves in the disciples' shoes. They were just used by Jesus to do a mighty miracle, right? They got to see something happen right in front of them. They fed thousands of people with hardly nothing. They just witnessed something from God that they couldn't take credit for, that they really couldn't even explain. They just saw the impossible come possible, become possible with God. Then immediately after they had finished feeding all these people and doing all these things, Jesus tells them, get back in that boat and head back across the water. And what they didn't realize is they were getting ready to jump into another lesson. Now, if you remember, I started and ended with last week reading and reminding us about this fact right here, that Jesus is alive and He's on the throne right now today. And if Jesus could do a miracle, I said in 70 AD, somebody reminded me that I was wrong. It was actually, you know, that was the fall of Jerusalem. So anytime that I try to remember something out of my brain, that's what happens. I quote the wrong people. I say the wrong dates, but that's not the point of the message. So actually, Matthew was written around in somewhere between 50 and 65 AD is what they think. And so if God can do a miracle, if Jesus can do a miracle in 60 to 65 AD, He can do one here today. And if He wanted to teach a lesson to His disciples, then He wants to teach a lesson to His disciples. That's you and me, the saints, the church. He wants to teach us today. Amen? So let's read Matthew chapter 14 and let God speak to us this morning as we read through His Word. Verse 22 starts out saying this. Immediately after this, they didn't wait around. Immediately after they had done all these great things, it says this: Jesus insisted that they go to that His disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake, while He sent all the people home. After sending them home, He went up into the hills by Himself to pray. Night fell while He was out there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble, far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy winds. Now, 3 o'clock in the morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them, walking on the water. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" I picture Him sounding like Scooby-Doo, for whatever reason. It's weird, but anyways. But Jesus spoke to them, Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I'm here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." Jesus says this. He says, "Yes, come." So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. Let's pray. Father, we concur and we agree with your disciples. You really are the Son of God. Lord, I thank you for the storms that you have brought me out of personally. I thank you for the storms that you have delivered us all from. Ultimately, Lord, we thank you for the storm of judgment that we all deserve that you delivered us from for our sin. That day on the cross. God, we love you. We praise you. And before we just get into another message, Lord, I just pray today that you would speak to our hearts individually. We're all going through some kind of storm in life. We're all going through something. Lord, I just pray today that we would hear from you and that we would allow you to work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I remember I was about 10, 11, 12 years old. And we were on vacation. We went to the Outer Banks. We were staying in Nag's Head. And my dad was into scuba diving when I was a kid. He was on a water rescue team and he loved to go scuba diving. And he said, "Hey, I'm going to go scuba diving one day down to an old shipwreck while we're on vacation." He had saved some money up and he was going to go out on this like chartered trip where they take you out and they have all the equipment and everything. And so I thought it would be cool. I wanted to go with him. And so we go out like 20 miles off the shore to find this place where they knew there was an old Civil War boat that had been sank. And before we even made it there, the storm blew in. And I remember being kind of drunk on Dramamines. I thought I was going to get, you know, seasick. So my mom had forced me to take this Dramamine stuff. And so I'm tired and sleepy. But even in my like stupor, as far as being in that place of having that medication in my stomach, this storm came in and it was like one I never want to experience again. And something I had never experienced. This little 20-foot boat that we were in with probably 15 people and all the scuba equipment, there was waves crashing over the front of it, hitting the windshield. We all went and found shelter inside the cabin, which was a sealed little place where the captain's cabin was. And the water was hitting the windshield so hard, it was coming through the seal around the windshield, just to paint the picture. And I remember being so terrified and feeling so helpless. It was probably the most afraid I've ever been in my life, and the most helpless. I had nothing I could do. You couldn't see shore. I couldn't drive the boat. I was there just at the mercy of this storm. There's somebody here today that feels like that, of the storm that's going on in their life. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever been through a storm or a trial or a valley in your life, you feel like that. You feel to the point where like there's no hope. Everything else is spinning out of control. You're out there. Nobody sees you. You're all alone. So before we get started today, I want to stop for a second and I really want to think about the storms and the trials of your life. Everybody just stop for a second and just think about how hopeless you felt. That first thought that comes up in your mind of maybe a time that you were going through a trial. How out of control you felt. How it felt like the whole world was passing you by. Nobody cared what you were going through. They didn't know what you were going through. Maybe it's something you've gone through in the past. Maybe it's something you fear is going to come in the future. Maybe it's something you think is headed your way. Or maybe you came in here today in the midst of a storm today. And it took all you had to come into church today and to get together with people and worship because of the storm of your life. Either way, as we go through the scripture today, let's open our hearts and listen to what God wants to tell us today through this passage, the awesome lesson that he's going to give us. And remember, if Jesus wanted to do it with his disciples, if Jesus wanted to deliver them from that storm, and if he wanted to teach them how to trust in him, he wants to do the same thing here, right here today, underneath this beautiful setting that we're in. He wants to teach you and me to be Christ followers. In fact, I don't believe there's any accidents in this world. There's no accident that you're here today. If you're a guest, if you're a longtime member, if you're here today and we find ourselves going through God's Word and this is where we are, that's God working in your life today. and working through me and working in my life. So let's get started. As I've read this passage this week, and I've read it before, I've gone through, if you know, Matthew is my favorite book in the Bible. I love going through it. I often find myself questioning, why was Jesus in such a hurry to get his disciples out of there? They just witnessed something so great. So many people got to see what Jesus could do. Why was he in such a hurry to get back on the boat and get them out of there? But if you read John's account of this, you will see that Jesus did this because the people were so amazed that they were ready to make him their physical king. They said, this is the guy we've been waiting on. We want him to be our king. And their motives were not spiritual. So they weren't looking for a spiritual king and a savior. They were looking for a king that would fix all their worldly problems. And Jesus knew that it wasn't God's timing. It wasn't God's will for him to be that kind of king. So Jesus sent his disciples away to protect them, knowing that they might fall into the temptation to receive that earthly praise or to get away from that crowd so they wouldn't fall into that. John chapter 6, verse 14 and 15 says this. When the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, surely he is the prophet that we have been expecting. When Jesus saw that they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped away in the hills by himself to pray. You see, Jesus had already heard some of his disciples, no doubt, arguing. Remember, they used to do that? They used to argue over, well, I'm going to be better in the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to be the greatest. So he'd already heard that that was their human nature to be like that. So he sent them back into the water as he slipped away to pray. And what they experience on this boat ride should encourage us today, not make us fearful of the storms, but it should encourage us today, especially when we find ourselves in the storms of life. We need to be reminded of these five assurances that we're going to go, that we found today, that we can find today in this passage. And the first assurance is this. If you're going through a storm right now today, you need to know that Jesus brought you here. He brought you to the storm. All right, so don't think it's out of control and don't think that he's forgotten about you. He sent his disciples out into the sea knowing that they were going to face this storm. Now, I know what somebody here is thinking, well, if God loves me, why in the world would he bring me to a storm? And the answer is found all throughout the scriptures. If you look all throughout the Bible, you will see the answers to why God sends us through the storms. Think about the Israelites. God brought them through all kinds of storms. I don't care if it was different battles they went through, standing at the Red Sea thinking the Egyptians are going to take them over and kill them. That's a storm. I'm sorry. If you've got an army running after you and you're trapped at the edge of a sea, that's a storm in life. I don't know about you, but I don't want to find myself there. But see, some of these storms, like that one, were there to build their faith in God. But there's other storms that the Israelites went through and that we all go through because they disobeyed God. See, so there's different storms. Think about Jonah. He found himself in a storm because he was not in God's will. He disobeyed God. That's what we call, and what I was reading this week, and I love it. It said that's a storm of correction, okay? So that's just a storm of correction. When we're not in the will of God, we're running from God, we're living in a life of sin, and we come upon trials and storms in life, that's called consequences. And that's also called storms of correction. If that's what it takes to get you back to God, God will put you through a storm because he loves you that much. But the disciples, they were in the will of God. They were actively, they left everything to follow Christ. Yet they find themselves out in the sea in the middle of this storm. So this message today is really directed to us as believers. But their storm was a different kind of storm. You see, instead of a storm of correction, they found themselves in a storm of perfection. You see, we so often mistake these two types of storms. We bring ourselves to the storms of correction when we disobey God and when we decide to live our way and we decide to live for the world. When we disobey God, but God will bring us into the storms of perfection to help us grow in our faith and to show us how he really is faithful. He's really there in our life and his will for our life is perfect. So if you're in a storm, the first thing you need to do this morning is recognize what kind of storm are you in. Don't blame God for a storm that you created and that you chose to walk into. But if you're in a storm of perfection today, this message is for you. And if you're a believer today and you're going through a storm and life is hard on you, you need to be encouraged today. And if you find yourself in a storm of correction, it's simple. Just repent. Do a U-turn. And fall and say, God, I find myself in this trial and I know this storm in this life I've created it, God, I've disobeyed you. I'm ready to start following you. And he's always there in the same way, ready to accept you back and to bring you back into his presence. So often we get this misconception that life in God's will or being a Christian is all smooth sailing. No pun intended. But this is not true, and it's not biblical. John 16, verse 33, we all know this. Jesus says this, "I have told you this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world." So if you're striving to live in the will of God and you're going through a storm this morning, you need to receive, I need to receive this encouragement and this assurance from Jesus today. He brought you here to perfect your faith. He's bringing you through the storm so he can work out and refine those areas in your life and really teach you to trust in him. He hasn't abandoned you. He hasn't forgot about you. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4 says this, "Dear brothers and sisters, when trials and troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." Now we could stop there, and that would be confusing, but listen what verse 4 says. So let it grow. Quit complaining about the storm. Quit worrying about the trials of life. Quit focusing on that and just say, "God, what are you doing? Let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." So if you're in a storm this morning, remember, Jesus hasn't forgot about you. He hasn't abandoned. He brought you here. He brought you to this storm. The second assurance we need is this. Jesus is actively interceding, and we see it in this passage. He is actively interceding for you and me. Did you know that Jesus prays for you? Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Did you know that Jesus prays for you daily? All the time, he's interceding for you. That's what Jesus was doing, I believe, when he went away to pray. When he got away, no doubt he was probably thanking God for the miracle that he had done and all those things. But I think he knew the storm he was sending his disciples into, and he was interceding on their behalf. His disciples were out in the storm, and they were struggling, and Jesus knew it. So he prayed for their faith not to fail. What a beautiful scene this is. Jesus praying for you and me, for his followers. In fact, the entire scene tells me that the Lord prays for you and me today. Romans chapter 8, verse 34, Paul writes this, "Who then will condemn us?" Who? Who can condemn us? "No one, for Christ has died for us. He was raised to life for us, and he's sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand." Listen to this, and it says, he's pleading for us. God is telling us right there, Jesus is pleading for you and pleading for me. God's people are in the sea. We're out of here in the sea. There's all kinds of storms we're going through. Just like the disciples were out into the sea. They may not have been physically with Jesus. They were out in the sea. We're not physically with God right now. We have his spirit, praise God, that lives within us. But we are out in the sea, so to speak, in this world. And there's all kinds of different storms. And not only does Jesus pray for us, but he understands our weakness. In fact, that's why he prays for us, because he understands our weakness. Hebrews chapter 4, 14, 15, and 16 say this, "So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weakness, for he faced all the same testings that we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most." Somebody needs to be assured today. I need to be assured today. We need to be assured today that Jesus understands the storm that you are going through today. He brought you to the storm, and he's interceding for you, actively praying for you, pleading for you at the right hand of God today, that your faith won't fail. The third assurance in this lesson is this. Jesus will meet you, and I believe he showed it, obviously. Jesus will meet you where you are. Right in the middle of the storm, Christ will meet you there. So often the first thought that we have when we go through an experience like this, we go through a trial and everything seems to go, you know, spins out of control in our life, or something goes against our plans, or something, we get a doctor diagnosis or whatever it is, we lose our job or we have marital problems. We know what we say, we blame God. We say, "God, you've abandoned me." You've left me. Have you forgotten about me, God? And if that's how you feel today, maybe you feel like God has abandoned you right in the middle of your storm. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that your faith is lacking. I'm not going to stand up here today and tell you you're an awful Christian. Instead, I want to encourage you with this. Many great people of faith all throughout the Scriptures, all throughout history, have been guilty of this because we're human. And we just read in Hebrews, guess what? He understands their weakness. Even David complained to God that when he was that he felt like he was far away at times. And all the things that David went through, listen to what he says in Psalm 13, verse 1. He says, "Oh Lord, how long will you forget about me? Forever? How long will you look the other way?" Have you ever done that with the Lord? And say, "God, how long are you going to let this go on?" Maybe you look at the evil in the world, or maybe you look at what's going on in your life, and you say, "God, how long have you forgot? How long are you going to look the other way and ignore all these problems I'm going through?" But see, even though David knew that God was on his side, and if you read chapter 13 of Psalms, you'll see at the end of it, he ends up going back and he says, "God, I know you're not going to fail me." See, he had those moments of doubt and complaint, even the great King David. You see, this is how the disciples must have felt. Why would he have sent us out here? Has he forgot about us? He's back on the shore, and we're out here. How long is he going to let us? Is he going to let us die out here? We left everything. Why is he going to let us do this? Or why is he letting us go through this? But the truth is this. Jesus will always come to us in the storms of life. Now, it might not be when we think he should come. See, that's where we get messed up a lot of times. We're like, "God, I want you to come now, and I want you to work this out now." But if we're living in his will, we got to trust him. And we got to know that he will come. Eventually, he will come. He hasn't abandoned us. He hasn't forsaken us. We go to the Word of God and we go back to the promises and we say, "No, God, I know. Your Word tells me that you'll never forsake me. You'll never leave me." And he will come when he knows the time is right and deliver you from the storm. Just like he did with the disciples. See, sometimes I believe God will allow us. Maybe he has to allow us because we're stubborn, if you're like me, or you're full of pride or whatever it is you're dealing with. He has to let us go so far away from the shore that we can't see the land, that we can't see anything else, we can't save ourselves. We get so far out, all human abilities to save ourselves, all hope is gone. And then he steps onto the scene and says, "Are you ready? Are you ready for me to work in your life? Are you ready for me to really show you who I am and what I can do?" Just like he did with the disciples. We have to make sure that we are looking for Jesus, because he will show up. And when he shows up, what's awesome, if you look back in this passage, if you look back in this story, Jesus walked on top of the very waves that they thought were going to kill him. He stood on them and stepped across them to show them, "This ain't nothing. I got it. I'm coming. You thought you were going to die because of these waves." And what did he do? He just simply walked on the very waves that they feared were going to kill him. And you know why they didn't recognize Jesus? It's because they weren't looking for him. So often when I go through a trial or I'm going through a hard time and I'm feeling like this, you know what? It's because I'm not looking for what God's doing in the middle of the storm. I'm not looking for Jesus. I lost my trust in him and I'm not thinking he's going to come and rescue me, or maybe he's got something he wants to do. It's because they weren't looking for him. Instead, they were looking at their circumstances. They were looking at the waves crashing all over them. They were looking at the water that was filling up the boat from the wind and the waves coming all over. You see, fear and faith can't live in the same heart at the same time. It's impossible. You can't trust God at the same time and be riddled with fear. It doesn't work that way. You can't serve two masters. In fact, fear blinds our eyes to the presence of the Lord every time. When we let fear take over our life, it will always blind us from what God is doing and what he wants to do. The disciples were so blinded by fear that they thought their Savior was a ghost. How often do we fear the difficult times in life? How often does it keep us up all night thinking about the storms and the trials of life? How often do we not recognize what God is doing in the storm of our life because we're riddled with fear? When in hindsight, it's easy to look back and say, "Man, God really grew me closer to him, and I'm thankful I went through that." But when you're in the storm, how often do we let fear take over? That storm and those waves in our life, the storm and the waves that the disciples were dealing with that day, You know what they were? They were stepping stones for Christ to come and grow closer to them. They were stepping stones. They were simple stepping stones and a tool that God used, that Jesus used that day to show them, see, I got your back. I got your backpack, right? I got your back. I didn't abandon you. I didn't forget about you. I'm not going to fail you. So be assured today, if you're in a storm, Jesus will meet you where you are. He brought you here. He's interceding for you, and He will meet you where you are. But we have to be looking for Him in the middle of the storm. The fourth assurance in this lesson is this: Jesus will help you grow. Not after the storm, but right in the middle of the storm, Christ can help you grow in your faith. Again, this is the whole purpose of this storm. Jesus knew that they would have to carry on. He knew that He wasn't going to be with them forever, right? He knew what He had come to do, what His mission and what God had sent Him to do, to die on the cross. And He would be buried and He would raise back to life, but He would ascend back and be in heaven where He's seated today at the right hand of God. And He knew that they would have to face persecution and many trials once He was gone. And He wanted them to learn to trust Him even though they couldn't physically see Him. Now, there's no doubt the disciples, all of them probably grew closer to Christ that night. But I believe that Peter got the ultimate lesson. I believe that Peter, and that's why they really point out what he did in this story, in this event. I think it's safe to say that Peter experienced the most growth in this event out of all the disciples that night. You see, often we criticize Peter and we focus on what Jesus said. Oh, Peter, you have such little faith. Why are you sinking? But in reality, we should look to Peter as a great example to follow. While the other disciples were sitting in the boat with their knees shaking and trembling together, guess who got out the boat and stepped out on the waves and started walking to Christ in the middle of the storm? It was Peter. And even though he got distracted by the storm and he began to sink, he immediately cried out for Jesus to help him. Peter didn't wait. Now, somebody needs to hear that. He needs to hear this morning. Peter didn't wait till he was drowning and couldn't breathe. So often we do that in storms of life, don't we? So often we do that in our sin and our rebellion and all that stuff. We'll wait all the way until we're almost dead. We try everything we can help ourselves, and we can't do it. Completely submerged, worn out from treading water, trying to save ourselves. But we need to follow Peter's example. He saw he was sinking and immediately cried out to Jesus. When I feel like my faith is wavering, when you feel like you're going down the wrong path, or you know you've dibbled into that jar of sin that you know you shouldn't go into, you fell into that weakness in that moment, that's the moment where you realize it and you say, Jesus, I need you. I'm so sorry. Forgive me for that. And guess what? I'm not going to spoil it because we'll get to it in a minute. Guess what he's going to do? He's going to reach down and he's going to reach out and he's going to help you. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand the difficult time that I'm in. It's easy for you to say that. You're a pastor. You don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand the storms of my life. You don't understand the cards and the hand that I've been dealt. Maybe not. I probably don't. But God does. God knows. Your Savior, Jesus Christ, knows. And He cares. And He hasn't abandoned you. So, was this storm difficult for Peter? Was it a hard time for him to be out of there in the middle of a storm and thinking he was going to die and taking that chance and walking on the water to Jesus? Of course it was. But it helped him grow in his knowledge of who Christ really is. Peter himself wrote these words in 1 Peter chapter 3. He says this: "The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and His ears are open to their prayers." I wonder if Peter was thinking about this event when he wrote that in his epistle. Jesus didn't have to run to Peter. Jesus didn't have to throw him a life jacket. He didn't have to swim to him and, like you see on Baywatch or whatever, and go to this dramatic rescue. He didn't have to do that. No, he saw he was in trouble, and Jesus was so close to Peter, all he had to do was simply reach down his hand and pick him up. Here I am, Peter. I'm here to help you. The storms of life are not easy, but sometimes they're necessary. Because they get all of our worldly junk out of the way and they teach us to trust in Christ alone and to obey His word no matter what waves and wind are crashing all around us. No matter what our circumstances are, no matter what's going on, we don't move from that foundation, that cornerstone, and we go, no, we're going to stand on the solid rock of Christ. And I'm going to put my hope and my trust in Him because He is never too far away to save me. If we do this, Jesus will help us grow in our faith every time. So the fifth assurance and the last assurance that we're going to go through today is this. Jesus always will see you through the storm. This is something that we have to remember as we come to the storms of life. If Jesus has called you to step out of the boat, He's going to see you through. If God has brought you to the storm, He's not going to leave you there. He's going to see you through. The Apostle Paul was confident of this fact when he was near the end of his life, sitting in prison. All right, mind you, he was sitting in the prison for being a Christ follower. Think about that. And he was still confident in this fact that Jesus had not forsaken him. He never would, and he would see him through. He says this in Philippians chapter 1. He says, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. We're going to read that again because somebody needs to hear that this morning. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. This morning, I want to promise you this. God is promising you this morning. What God starts, He's going to finish. What God brings you to, He's going to deliver you from it. What God brings you through, what God puts on your heart, I don't care if it's accepting salvation for the first time and saying, I don't think God could ever forgive me for the things that I do. If He's tugging at your heart this morning, and He wants to start something, He wants to finish it today. Maybe it's a calling on your life. Maybe God's calling you and telling you, you're saying, no, God, I can't do that. I'm not good enough for that. There's no way I can do that. I don't know the Bible good enough to be a deacon. That somebody asked me if I would serve as a deacon or whatever it be. He will finish it. A vision that you have of what God wants to do in your life and in your family or in your church or whatever it is, Christ will finish it. Whatever God starts, He will finish. We may lose faith along the way. We might sink a little bit. We might get distracted. We might make mistakes along the way. In fact, we're going to do those things. But in the end, God's will and His plan will succeed if we just focus on Him. Notice what happens. If you look back at the end of this passage, look what happens after Jesus reaches down to rescue Peter. Really think about it. Really think about it. Does it say that they swam back to the boat? Does it say that they threw a life jacket so they could get back in the boat? No, it doesn't say that. They were standing on the water together. So here's Jesus pulling Peter up out the water. And then he tells him, while he's standing on water with Jesus, with Christ, standing right there with him out in the storm, standing on the waves, he says, you have little faith. Look what you're doing. Look what I'm doing through you and in your life. See, they walked on the water together, Peter and Christ, doing the impossible together as they went back to the boat. They didn't swim back. They walked on the water together. This should give us an assurance today. When the disciples saw Christ walking on the water and they calmed the storm and everything stopped and they got back in the boat, what did they do, church? What does it say they did? Look in your Bible. What did He do? Somebody shout it out. They worshiped Him, right? They worshiped Him. And it's what we all should do. They fell down and they worshiped Christ. They saw that He surely was who He said He was and who the Scriptures and the old prophets had said was going to come and what He was going to do and what He was capable to do. And He had all authority over heaven and earth. They fell down and they worshiped Him. That's a simple pattern right there. We cry out to Jesus. He saves us and therefore we forever worship Him. Because guess what? If you're heaven bound like I am, the hope and the joy and the peace that I have, you know what we're going to do for all eternity? We're going to worship. And we're going to fall on our face before Jesus. And we're going to worship Him day and night, singing the same songs, probably over and over to Him. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They fell down and they worshiped. You see, we must resist our human nature to read events like this in the Scriptures and just chalk it up as another Bible story. It's not a story. It's a historical event that God recorded for us so we would always have it and remember it. This event is that we read today magnifies and it plainly displays that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. And the disciples saw that. They saw that He was the King over all nature. Even the wind and the waves obeyed His commands. And they saw that Jesus was King over any storms, any troubles, any trials they would have. Anything they would face in life, He was King over them. So as we close this morning, I just want to ask you two simple questions. What storm is in your life that you need to declare the kingship of Christ over this morning? What waves are blinding you from seeing God's will and your full potential that He wants to do in your life? What is it that you've been concentrating on, looking at your circumstances, looking at your problems, your addictions, whatever it is, and you're looking at all the struggles that go around you, looking at the waves crashing over, and you feel hopeless. And it's blinding you from seeing what God really wants you to do with your life. What is it? What is it? Whatever it is, the Lord invites you today to come and receive assurance from Him today. The assurances that He has for you that He gave us right in the passage that we read this morning. Number one is what? He brought us here. So if you're in a storm, He brought you here. Number two, if you're in a storm, Jesus is interceding for you right now. He hasn't abandoned you. He hasn't forgot about you. Jesus will meet you where you are. He will help you grow in the midst of this storm. And Jesus will see you through. He's not going to fail you. And if you just trust Him, if you just keep your eyes on Him, if we would just listen to Christ and we would just listen to the voice of truth. Right, Gary? That song, The Voice of Truth? If we listen to the voice of truth instead of listening to the waves and the winds and all the things that the world wants to tell us and the devil's whispering in our ear, guess what? He'll see us through and He'll do things that we can't even imagine with our life. Just like He did with Peter. They stood together. They stood together on the water and walked back to the boat and watched Christ calm a storm. If God is working on you today, if you need prayer, maybe you're going through a storm, we would love to pray with you today. Pastor Will's going to be up here. Jenny's going to be up here. Come today. We don't have a whole lot of musicians, so I'm going to be singing the song. But if you want to come and you want prayer, we've got godly people that want to pray with you today. Part of your church family wants to pray with you today. Amen? So if God is calling you today before you leave, if God is working in your life, if you're in a storm and you feel like everything is whirling out of control, come today and let Christ work it out today. Come to Him. Give it to Him right where you are. Come today. We'll pray with you. Whatever it is, come as we sing. And all you simply have to do is just acknowledge your need for God. That's what we're going to be singing about. Oh, how I need the Lord. That's what this old hymn is about. So as God is working on us today and working in your life, come as we sing.